WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Carter's flag-draped casket carried up the steps and into Washington's National Cathedral by a military honor guard this past half hour. A state funeral has just gotten underway. All former living presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama are in attendance, as well as President-elect Trump, who's seated next to Mr. Obama. President Biden is there. He'll deliver a eulogy. Joshua Carter is speaking now about the lessons his grandfather taught.
Whenever he told these stories in Sunday school, he always said he did it for one simple reason. He worshipped the Prince of Peace, and he commanded it.
After the state funeral, President Carter's remains will be flown to his native Georgia for private burial next to his wife, Rosalind, in Plains. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding residents that it's not too late to get vaccinated amid an uptick in respiratory viruses. According to DHS data, only about 30% of Wisconsin residents have gotten a flu shot this year, and about 15% have gotten an updated COVID vaccine. Officials are also recommending more residents get vaccinated against RSV, especially pregnant women, older adults, and infants. The state has seen a jump in respiratory viruses this year, especially cases of whooping cough and norovirus. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials say a new strain may be the cause behind the unusually high number of norovirus cases this winter. According to DHS officials, outbreaks are normal during this time of year as people tend to gather inside, contributing to the spread of the highly contagious virus. This winter, however, there have been over 100 outbreaks across the state, including at UW-Eau Claire. Experts believe that increase is due to a new strain of the virus that most residents haven't built an immunity to yet. The school district of the Menominee area will be holding listening sessions on their new strategic plan over the rest of the week. The district is planning to update the 5-year strategic plan and is looking for input from staff, students, and community members. The listening sessions take about an hour to an hour and a half, and there will be multiple sessions on Thursday and Friday at multiple locations. The district is also looking for applicants for the strategic planning committee, which will oversee the planning process and make recommendations. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has confirmed a positive chronic wasting disease test in Chippewa County. According to a press release, a 1-year-old buck that was harvested by a hunter provided the positive test. The deer was harvested near the Dunn and Barron County borders, meaning all three counties will be subject to baiting and feeding bans. Chippewa and Dunn County will each have a 3-year baiting and feeding ban in place, and Barron County will renew a 2-year baiting and feeding ban that was already in place. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prepare for Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers face the Eagles in Philadelphia Sunday in the wild card playoffs. The Eagles have one of the top-ranked defenses in the league under coordinator Vic Fangio. I asked Matt LaFleur what makes them so tough.
You just don't see a whole lot of open space, a lot of gotcha plays. You're going to have to earn it, because if they get you in third and long, it's a nightmare.
College basketball, two of the Badgers men's team dealing with injuries. Max Klesmet in a walking boot after injuring his right ankle. Nolan Winter, able to practice despite suffering a deep cut to his finger the other night. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota Friday night. NBA, the Bucks with a 121-105 blowout over the Spurs. A.J. Green with 14 points asked, how do you defend 7'3" Victor Wembanyama?
Just be physical and crawl up under him, try to make him uncomfortable, stab at the dribble. That's what coaches wanted us to do, and I think that's how you got to try and guard them.
That's the Bucks' A.J. Green with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction. Raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a little light snow developing by later this afternoon. Our high right around 25. More light snow tonight. Overall, we're looking at a dusting at best. Not going to be a lot of snow. 17 our low tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 24 with more light snow on the way by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 13.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years. They specialize in residential and commercial projects. from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look at what's to come in the 119th Congress. What issues are important to you and what's realistic to get done? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Karen Spiriani is the executive director of MATIC, which is Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control. They have been inundated with dogs. They received like over 100 dogs in the weeks following Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
And they can't refuse anything. They can't if someone comes in and wants to surrender an animal to MATIC, they can't say, sorry, we're full. They're a county-funded agency. They have to take these animals.
Yeah.
And they're just not set up for this many. And it leads to problems for the animals. Just imagine being in a space not big enough for all of you. And all the barking and the tension and the anxiety and all of that stuff. So we're going to talk to Karen Spiriani about what you can do, what we can all do to give them a hand. If it's not adopting one of these animals, maybe you can foster.
Yeah.
Maybe you can make some donations. I know that they're really hurting for food and other things like that. So Karen Spiriani will be here after 10:33 to talk about the situation at MATIC. A little bit later on, next hour after the 11 o'clock news, there's an update on the Milwaukee minnow.
You mean the saga continues?
The saga continues of the boat called Deep Thought, which has now been essentially renamed the Milwaukee minnow, stuck on the beach between McKinley Marina and Bradford Beach. So we have some updates on that. Brittany Merlot will be here at 11:20 with a little weather and wine. We'll find out what we got coming our way. A little bit of snow, I think, overnight tonight. And then we're looking at maybe Sunday into Monday with a little bit more snow. Paul Noonan, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, will be here to talk all things sports at 11:33. And we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, as we always do, at 11:51. Today it is the Rapunzel edition. Stick around for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to start off, though, with Jimmy Carter. The services are underway in Washington, D.C., as we remember Jimmy Carter, dead at the age of 100.
Yeah. Yep. Wonderful, and wonderful man.
Wonderful, wonderful man. Probably accomplished even more after he was out of office.
Well, absolutely. He could just do the things he needed to do. He didn't have to rely on a Congress.
So we will. Yes. Anyway, there will be no mail delivery today.
Okay.
Because of this. And also the stock market is closed.
Gotcha.
So just be aware of that. Once these services are over in Washington, President Carter's remains will be flown to Plains, Georgia, where I believe they're having another private ceremony for the family later on today. And then he will be interned alongside his long love, Rosalind. So best wishes to the Carter family.
Yeah.
And what a long, illustrious life, an example for all of us.
A man who lived in service and
absolutely
true,
truly, right? A true example of living a life of service.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
Also, a little update on these wildfires in Los Angeles, where we started off yesterday. So far, over 30,000 acres have burned. 100,000 residents have been urged to evacuate. What's interesting about these fires is a lot of them are in pretty urban areas.
Yes.
That's unusual.
The Pacific Palisades. And I have got a lot of friends living in Los Angeles, and I'm seeing a lot of messages just saying, we have fled, we have left, we're hoping we'll be okay, but we are safe. And they live in Los Angeles. They don't live in like
the hills.
They don't live in the Northwoods of California. They live in LA.
And of course the finger pointing already happening.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's the Democrats' fault. It's Gavin Newsom's fault.
It's the liberals who don't believe in God fault.
You didn't listen to Trump 6 years ago when he told you to, what was that again?
Rake the forest.
Rake the forest. That's not expert advice.
Sending our thoughts to everyone in California. This is just a nightmare. And it's been fueled by the 70-mile-an-hour winds, the Santa Ana winds, which make it extremely difficult to try and contain anything.
And Brittany Merlot will be on the show later, and she can actually talk more about how the winds are actually affecting the fires and what's going on there. And I just want to say a big shout-out to Steve Guttenberg. Yes, that's Steve Guttenberg from Police Academy, who has been helping people evacuate.
Good for him.
Good for him. You got celebrities out there doing the good thing, and then you got some other celebrities just being jerks. And who cares about them? I care about Steve Guttenberg helping the people of L.A.
Good on you. Good on you, Mr. Guttenberg. We appreciate that. Bringing things a little bit closer to home, we talked yesterday about the Wisconsin legislature coming back in session after months on vacation. And what was the first thing they decided to tackle, Greg? Was it child care?
No.
Was it health care?
Uh-uh.
Was it gun safety?
Not even close.
Was it school funding?
That's a joke, right?
Yeah, that is a joke. No, their number one priority after getting back, after having 300 plus days off, their number one concern is voter ID.
Ah, yes.
Voter ID.
That old chestnut.
Institutionalizing that into our state constitution. They're going to have an amendment on the April ballot. And I very much expect that this will pass.
I don't want it to pass. And I'll say this. I will not be shocked if it does. But folks, you're listening to us right now. We're going to keep talking about this. And the reason why it will pass is if people aren't having these conversations. So have these conversations with your friends and know that voter ID in our Constitution, or period, is not necessary. It absolutely is not. There's no proof that shows it does the good thing, keeps elections safe. There's just none. And there's plenty of evidence on the other side that shows there's not enough, quote unquote, voter fraud to denote doing these sorts of actions.
If you've never listened to Todd Albaugh, and I highly encourage you to do so, he follows us from noon to 2 p.m. Todd was a lifelong Republican.
Correct.
Until 2011.
Why?
When they started this whole voter ID scam.
And they did, and when we say scam, we're not using liberal left-wing talking points. It's a scam, and you will listen to Todd talk about this. He's talked about it before, and I'm sure because of this, he will continue to discuss this point, which is the fact that he left the party because of this, because in the room that he was in, they were not talking about keeping elections safe. They were not talking about ensuring voter confidence. They were talking about lessening the ability for certain individuals to vote. And those individuals include people of color, people with disability, older folks, students.
Yes.
People that the GOP assume don't vote for Republicans. Now, I don't want to say that they don't. You don't know. Not every person vote. No group is a monolith. But they just assumed, and this is what they wanted to do. And not only did Todd hear this, he testified to the fact.
In court. Under oath.
That this was more of a, we're going to get them rather than we care about democracy. And you can think I'm wrong. I'm not. And you can listen to Todd. He'll say it.
Todd was in the room where it happened.
I love that phrase.
He heard it.
Yep.
So I highly encourage you again to check out, listen to all of our civic media shows. But if you want to hear Todd, he talks about very openly. Mm-hmm. That is why he left the Republican Party.
That was it. Like that was the straw.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back for him. So now what are they up to? The Republicans, now that they've lost their supermajority, Democrats picked up a number of seats in the assembly. You'd think that that would lead to more. We were hopeful that that was going to lead to more working across the aisle.
Bipartisanship, more compromise.
Yes.
More just, you know, saying, hey, let's get stuff done.
For our constituents.
For our, as a representative democracy. Did you hear me, Robin Voss? A representative democracy. That's not what they did. That's not what they did at all.
Yeah, no, they're obviously still a little annoyed.
Miffed.
Miffed is a good word.
Miffed.
Representative Greta Neubauer, Democrat.
Who we would like to have on the show. You hear
me? We're making some reaches. Came out with this press release yesterday. Quote, Assembly Democrats are ready to get to work and deliver results for the people of Wisconsin. Our growing caucus, comprised of members from all corners of Wisconsin, look forward to serving on committees to provide critical analysis of proposed legislation and help craft policies to improve people's lives.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Assembly Republican leadership has chosen to start the legislative session in a highly partisan fashion, reducing Democratic positions on the vast majority of committees. Despite the people of Wisconsin choosing to replace 10 incumbent Republican lawmakers with Democrats in the last election. I hope my GOP colleagues will choose to shift course. They won't. And join Democrats in putting the people of Wisconsin over partisan politics in the coming legislative session. So
they
again, they lost seats. Nope, they're not going to compromise. They're just not going to place Democrats on important committees. That's their answer to working across the aisle.
They're doing what they like to do best. They like to change the rules. When the maps came up for the redrawing, they changed it so they had ridiculous gerrymandered maps. When Tony Evers took office, they wanted to strip him of as much power as they
as
could.
As possible.
They're doing, now that they've lost their super duper majority, they're pulling this. This is a party of babies. This is the kind of crap you do when you say, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. This is the kind of representative democracy Robin Voss wants.
Absolutely.
This is about power, consolidating the power, and never losing it, no matter what you do. And I'm going to tell you right now, if the Democrats even attempted, even as a joke, said they were going to do this, Fox News would lose their minds. Not just the local media, not just state media, Fox News, OAN, they'd be losing their minds.
Overreach.
Overreach.
Can
anyone defend this? I dare you to try to defend this behavior. You're going to strip members of the Assembly of possible committee assignments to keep your power.
Because we're mad.
Because we didn't get our way.
We lost some seats and we don't like it.
We still have power, but I don't have enough power.
You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What else to do about it?
The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improve their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Give me half a chance, cause I'm not dead yet. Not dead yet. Not dead yet.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I wanted to have that song as our theme song.
Why is that? Why was that your theme song, Jane?
Because I'm old.
But why today?
You're going to make me say it?
Yeah, I'm going to make you say it.
It's my birthday.
Hit it, Calvin. Oh, yeah.
Than to have a world party on the day you came to be. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you for my birthday Kringle. Cream cheesecake is among the best creams. Thank you very much for that, guys. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you so very much. We were talking before we went to the break about... Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin, perfectly fine that they lost a bunch of seats in the assembly by cutting Democrats from some important committee positions.
Yeah, I mean,
they just got back to work.
Yeah, yeah,
they just got back to work after almost not 10 months off.
Yeah, apparently during this past election, it wasn't just a change in power, more Democrats who were voted in, but apparently all the Republicans who were voted in were all seventh graders.
Sure seems
they're
like
all
it.
Been taken over by little kids.
They're very petty.
Very petty, very vindictive, very just not very nice people.
Obviously, they're all about working across the aisle.
They're all about democracy, too.
Yes.
They're all getting things done for the people.
Yes. 855-752 4842, if you would like to join the conversation. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Well, first of all, let me say, this is your birthday song. It isn't very long.
Yeah.
I thought I didn't have much time to write much more.
That's fantastic, Jack. Thank you so much.
Anyway, this sort of stuff, going back to the real topic
yep.
here, this sort of stuff, that the Republicans are pulling. This is why we absolutely need a federal law that states unequivocally and clearly that every adult American citizen has the right to vote and that any law, regulation, or activity interfering with that right is null, void, and illegal. And, you know, you can make a list. You could start out by saying egregious gerrymandering, illegal. The redistricting must be done by nonpartisan methods, ridiculously demanding voter ID, atrociously demanding mail-in or absentee ballot rules, such that, for instance, a wife can't even hand in nor even legally mail her husband's ballot. Some of this stuff starting to sound familiar.
Yeah. It's amazing that the lengths that they will go to in order to discount someone's ballot. We're going to talk about what's going on in North Carolina, because that's a whole nother thing with the North Carolina Supreme Court and that election down there. We're going to talk about that tomorrow with Jim Santel, who is the host of Civic Media's Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11. But yeah, it's like, if they can't get their way the regular way, then they're going to look at 4,000 other possibilities on what they can do on procedural things to get their own way.
Instead of actually coming up with some ideas that will help Wisconsinites.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
And what I really would want to ask the listeners right now is, we spoke about how the fact that we believe that this will go through on the ballot, and I don't want it to go through, and I don't think it should go through. And I think the problem is that a lot of people, just good folks, honestly, regardless of your party, see voter ID as a harmless exercise, as a thing that's just, oh, it just makes sense. You know, you should, I have to have my ID to do this. I should have to have my ID
and
to do this.
How hard can it be?
What I want people to start doing is to start, I don't know if this is a word, but denormalizing that idea. To know that to vote for decades, for longer than that, in Wisconsin, you didn't need an ID. This is fairly new. You didn't have to have an ID. And I don't remember anyone complaining about it to such a degree that it required in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s or the 90s us to have an ID to vote.
Well, it started when they realized they were losing the culture wars.
Yeah.
And it's like, boy, our policies aren't very popular. We need to do something to stop these people from voting for the policies that they like.
So take that information, couple it with, why all of a sudden is this such a huge problem? And ask yourself, do we really need voter ID? Or is it the fact that we're trying to hold down the vote of certain groups of individuals? And the assumption that they don't vote for the GOP, which is just wrong to begin with, as we saw in the 2024 election.
Well, they've got to be rethinking about the whole thing about targeting college students.
Absolutely.
After this last election.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw a whole swath of people, groups of people. We were like, I don't think they're going to vote for Trump. And they voted for Trump. So I just want people to decouple themselves from this notion that voter ID is something that makes sense. And it seems right. And it's, why not? Ask yourself why, though. Why?
Well, and again, if we had evidence of massive voter fraud to the extent it could shift the outcome of an election, that would be one thing.
Yeah.
There is no evidence like that. We just spent almost $2 million, our money, looking for fraud in all the right places, and we still didn't find any fraud.
I would ask yourself this. If you believe that the 2020 election was free and fair, you shouldn't believe. I don't think it makes sense to believe that we need an ID to vote, because people believing this election was stolen is inaccurate. It's false.
It is false. It's a lie.
Using that idea to justify voter ID does not make sense. Therefore, we don't need it.
Tom Vermille on the line. We're just up against the clock. Tom, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Jane, I just wanted to tell you happy birthday, and I wanted to tell you something you may not know. You share a birthday with AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys.
It's true, you
one
do.
Of my best friends. So,
really?
There you go.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. Appreciate
get him to call.
Yeah, appreciate your listenership. News is coming up next when we return. Karen Spiriani from Matic is going to be here. You need a dog. I know you do. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is considering wind turbine restrictions amid the population decline of cave bats. According to DNR officials, the restrictions would involve a wind speed requirement to use the turbines, as cave bats typically don't fly as often in high winds. The wind speed required to use the turbines would be determined by the population density of the cave bats in a particular area. The Department of Natural Resources will be accepting public comments on the restriction plan until January 15th. A report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that local municipalities are paying more for recycling services while state aid remains flat. According to the report, the operational costs of recycling services grew by about 0.5% each year from 2013 to 2021, but the available state funding for recycling grants has remained at about $20 million since 2011, following a reduction from about $32 million prior. As a result, local government budgets are facing greater strain to fill the gaps with local revenue sources like property taxes. A new homeless day shelter has recently opened in Eau Claire as the unhoused population continues to grow. Say Yes Mission has announced the opening of a new permanent building on Washington Street near Community Haven House. According to organization officials, the shelter will be available for use 6 days a week from 2 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., offering guests a place to warm up, get some food, and relax for a while. They say since opening the new facility, they've seen about 40 to 80 unhoused individuals stop in each day. A number of Barron County towns will receive portions of nearly $5 million in state funding to improve rural roadways. Recipients of the second round of Wisconsin's Agriculture Road Improvement Program awards were recently announced. The town of Clinton will receive about $2.2 million, the town of Barron will receive just under $2 million, and the town of Sioux Creek will receive just under $1 million. The program is meant to improve transportation efficiency in rural areas to cut supply costs for farmers and consumers. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The effect of the fires in Los Angeles have been devastating. The ultimate impact on the entertainment business remains to be seen, but two notable premieres were canceled due to the fires, including Universal's Wolfman, which was scheduled to have its premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater Tuesday night. Jennifer Lopez's Unstoppable premiere was also canceled Tuesday night. There is no word on whether or not the events will be rescheduled. Wolfman is set to hit theaters on Martin Luther King Day weekend. Matthew Perry has managed to stay in the news fairly often following his mysterious death in 2023. His friend's colleague Lisa Kudrow made news the other day when she appeared on the Drew Barrymore show and told Barrymore that Perry gave her the famous Friends cookie jar from the set as a parting gift after the last episode. Kudrow added that Perry left a note in the cookie jar that she only recently discovered after his death. It is unclear why Kudrow checked the cookie jar after all these years. Maybe a serious case of the munchies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Increasing clouds and increasing warmth, with highs reaching the mid-20s, all ahead of some snow tonight. Mainly moving in around sunset and continuing throughout the overnight. We are looking at accumulations around an inch, and a few flurries could still be lingering early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the both legal and legally challenged ideas being bounced around in the final days before Trump takes office.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hello, tipsy toe. She broke a needle and she can't sew. Walking the dog. Guess who walked?
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we have an update on the Milwaukee Minnow, the boat that is stuck along the shore between McKinley Marina and Bradford Beach. Some new details out about that. We will share that with you after 11 o'clock. Right now, though, we are joined by the executive director of Matic. Karen Sparapani is here. And Karen, we've had you on the show before, and I wish we could have you on sometime when everything is going great at Matic and everything is smooth sailing. And unfortunately, that just never seems to be the case. You have just received well over 100 dogs since Christmas, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And there's a lot of factors. I've seen a lot of social media posts saying it's all the puppies from Christmas, but it has not been that. It's been adult dogs. And people would think our industry is very random because, you know, the theory of a dog getting lost or a cat getting lost and coming in shouldn't have busy days. But like Mondays and Fridays are very busy days for intake for us. And, you know, a good percentage of the animals that we get in are unwanted animals. And people don't have options or don't want people to come to their home or just want the easiest, most convenient way to get rid of their animal. So they bring it here to Matic. Or it could be sick, it could be injured. And again, we are very, very, very adamant about not judging people, because if you can't afford to take care of your animal, are you going to leave it to suffer? I'd rather someone, you know, say, oh, it's a stray and it's sick and it needs help and, you know, we can fix it, rather than not have the animal treated or just dump it somewhere, which people often do that as well.
Absolutely.
But it's when the cold weather hits too, we get a lot of people that just, you know, they do feel bad about leaving animals outside in the yard. But a lot of the time the animal's not really a good house companion because it's always been outside. So it's really just kind of more not something people would think, you know. People always go, oh, it's Christmas puppies. I wish I got a bunch of golden doodle puppies dumped here.
That'd be easy.
Be best day of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not. It's adult dogs that are scared, that, you know, have been loved. You know, they were part of a family, and for whatever reason, that person can no longer provide and meet the needs of that animal. So we're the place people turn to. But, you know, everyone has that same idea. It's not like it's a unique idea. Like, you're the only person that thought, ooh, I'll just say my dog's a stray, you know. And again, we don't judge people. And no one should feel bad about doing that, in the sense of, I get it. It would be better if they were just honest and said, I can't keep my dog, I can't afford it. There could be a barrier that we can help them with. And if there isn't, you know, then by all means, we'll get the dog another home. But tell us something about the dog, so we don't have people just thinking we have nothing. Tell us, is it like children? Does it like cats? Does it live with other pets? You know, things like that, that would help us place those animals in proper homes.
Well, and the thing with your agency as well, Karen, because of how you're funded, you have to take animals that come to you. It's not like you can say, yeah, we'd love to take it, but we're full and we can't help you. You have to take these animals.
Right. If someone brings an animal in and says it's a stray, we're going to take it. And most of the time, you know, even if it's an animal they can't keep, you know, a lot of people feel like once you emotionally divorce yourself from an animal, it doesn't have a home, but you can still sign it over because you are de facto. Someone gave me this dog yesterday and I don't want it today. You know, you're still the owner. It's not a stray. Mm. So if they just want to sign, because again, our big problem, and all shelters deal with this, if you're like, well, that's a surrender, you got to bring it to another shelter, and they do those things by appointment, we get people that just dump animals in the parking lot. And I don't, you know, again, I don't want to be the cause of that. I don't want an animal to run out of our parking lot and get hit by a car. And it's traumatic for the driver and the staff. Yeah. And, you know, so again, it's really such a complex issue with the situation with the economy and housing. So many landlords, I didn't realize so many landlords could, you know, change their mind about you having a pet mid-lease or not renew because you have a pet. And they're very biased against big dogs. And, you know, so that's why we get so many dogs. People get, you know, once the evictions started back up after COVID, you know, a lot of big dogs started coming in. And the problem is that so many big dogs come in, but most people don't want a big dog. And that makes it really, really hard for us. We get little dogs that fly out, or if they're a puppy, oh, well, you know, it'll be good because I trained it.
Right.
You know, people don't realize how much work that actually is. So we get a lot of big dogs and a lot of people like, oh, I just, you know, don't want a big dog, or, you know, and people are always going to have a bias against blocky headed dogs, which is unfortunate because they are not bad dogs at all. Most of them are, they have two speeds, like we're going to walk or the dog park or sleeping. So,
and when you say blocky headed dogs, you're talking about
the
pit bulls and,
pit bull mixes. Yeah. We call them pity type dogs because, again, they're not a purebred. They're a mix.
Yeah.
But again, people just see them and there's so many bad news stories. And to be fair, I will just say every bad incident involving pit bulls is 100% owner responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs do not make decisions. They respond to stimulus. If they become a pack because you have five of them and you leave them out in the yard, that's not fenced in properly and they can get out and do something, still your fault. You know, you are the higher thinking, upright walking person in this relationship and you're in charge. So people have too many dogs. They let them kind of just hang out in the yard and socialize with each other, and then they don't like anybody else, or they get very wound up when they see other people walk past, and you know that we get some problems that way. But most of the time the dogs we get in are perfectly adoptable, wonderful dogs. We got one in a couple of weeks ago from a cruelty case that's very thin. And, you know, the staff was kind of concerned about its behavior, but we had out yesterday. It's like the biggest love. Like, it's just such a sweet dog, and it lived with children, I know. And that dog's going to sit here because people just have prejudice against, you know, this particular look of a dog.
Yeah.
And that's starting to ebb a little bit, but every time there's a story in the news, there you go again, and you see the comments, I will never have a pit bull.
It just reinforces this. And like you said, Karen, my niece and her husband had a pit bull. They unfortunately lost her several years ago. Penny was the sweetest baby. She was a pity. And they loved her. I have other friends who've had pit bull mixes, and they just rave about what squishes they are.
When a pit bull puts their head in your lap, they will not leave. And also, the thing too is, we don't look at, like, you know, lots of people are bitten by lots of different kinds of dogs, and those are
little
all
dogs.
Terrible. No one's calling for like the end of schnauzers, you know. So this notion that it's anything other than the owner's fault is crazy. It's like, it's how you're trained and how you're loved.
Right. And the big thing is socializing.
Yeah.
And that's never, ever, you know, talked about enough, is you're exposing your dog as a puppy to other dogs once it has all its vaccines, to other people. Take it to stores. Take it to Home Depot. Like, get it used to public so they don't see any problem with other human beings or other animals. It's so critical. And it can be a death sentence if an animal ends up here and it's just so aggressive toward other animals.
Yep.
Because, you know, we get cases all the time where someone's walking their dog and someone with their dog that they never trained properly or socialized properly will drag them across the street and attack this other dog. And that shouldn't be. And that could have been taken care of in the first 6 months of that dog's life. So, but, you know, again, no matter what, the dogs are good. All dogs are inherently good. And we are so lucky to have them existing in the world. And it's just a shame that the world is in such a flux with, the economy and how much, you know, everyone's eggs cost so much money and this. But if people need resources, they're literally a phone call away. We have food we can give people. They could stop in, get free food. We have other organizations that supply food and resources. We can help people if they ask. But I do understand that some people are just can't do it. Like right. they have to move in with another family member, and that family member, no, absolutely not. And I get it. So I'm, you know, as frustrating and challenging as times like this are, you know, we do feel good about being a resource for the community.
Because
we don't want, they care enough to bring them here.
Yeah.
You know, they're not bad people.
Right. Karen Sparapani is our guest. She's the executive director of Matic, and they've recently received an influx of dogs, well over 100 dogs who are looking for homes, looking for fosters. If you're not ready to maybe adopt an animal, you can always foster them and see how that goes. You can always volunteer. There's all kinds of things that you can do to help out.
I would say, honestly,
we even do those test drives. I don't want to interrupt you, but
no.
You could do a 5-day test drive on a dog and bring it back. And if it didn't work out, you could just take another one home till you find your right match. Like, so we're all about like trying to help you find the right animal.
Well, and that was two things I was going to bring up. One is, honestly, Karen, I think that sometimes it's not just a matter of people not being able to ask for help. Like, I bet you a lot of people don't know you do those things either. Like, you have those resources available. So if you're listening and you know someone who's
struggling,
in need, have them call Matic and maybe they'll be able to supply them with some free food or some help. But I would say the other question the thing I wanted you to talk about was those tiers of helping. You know, you have the test drives, you can foster, you can adopt. There's ways of being involved in these animals' lives that don't require you to adopt a pet right away. You can bring yourself into the process and really get yourself, as you said, the right fit.
Yeah. We take in 13,000 animals a year, and there's only 41 employees. And most of them are not, you know, it's like, if we didn't have the fantastic group of volunteers that we have, I don't know what we would do. We're government funded. The government has given us enough money to bring the animals in and care for them, but the getting them out into homes or transferring them to other facilities, the medical, we do have 3 vets on staff, so we could do way more surgically and medically for the animals that come in before they get adopted. But, you know, it's just without our volunteers, most of our cats are adopted out by a volunteer. The dogs have volunteer supplemental assistance. We have people that help the staff in the back, the medical staff. So, I mean, we can use you anywhere. And if you don't want to be in the back because you're going to cry because you see animals and you just want to take them all home, we can have you work up front.
There's always something for you to do in some way, shape, or form if this tugs at you at all. And I know there are a lot of folks listening who are like, oh, if maybe you already have 5 dogs and you can't do another one, that's fine. But there are other ways for you to help. And we're going to talk about this on the other side as well, Karen, as your there's a low-cost spay-neuter program, too, that you offer, correct?
Yep. We do low-cost spay-neuter. And for cats, for people that reclaim cats and pit bull type dogs from Matic, we'll give them a free spay or neuter. And if they can't decide that day, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know. Like, you have 30 days to decide. We're here to make sure that your animal can stay healthy. A lot of times if you've bred your female a few times, she can get something called pyo. And it's essentially a really complex spay surgery, but it's going to cost like $3,000.
We're going to continue our conversation with Karen Sparapani, the executive director of Matic. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You got silver bells and you got cockleshells. Pretty maids all in a row. Walking bird dog. Just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, show you how to walk a dog. Come on now, come on, come on.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again? Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
The things she said. You know she hurt my feelings deep. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
A dog. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's time to adopt a dog. Karen Sparapani is our guest. She's the executive director of MADC, which stands for the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission. And we're talking about this huge influx they've had of dogs since Christmas, well over 100, looking for homes, looking for love, and even looking for a nice foster family.
Yeah.
If you can't commit to adopting them. Like you said, Karen, sometimes people drop these animals off and they're not able to give you a lot of information. Do they socialize well with children? Were they in a house with children? Were they in a house with cats? Were they in a house with another dog? So if you foster them, this gives you an idea of what their personalities are like, how they're going to interact with other things in the household. So when you put them up for adoption, you have a basis of behavior to work from, right?
Yeah, that's the best part of fostering, is that you get to see what that roommate's going to be like. And, I've had the easiest fosters ever that just come home and are like, hey, on the couch, like chill, have good behavior. Some need a little polishing, but I've not had any that were... Like one time I took home a dog that was bouncing from one wall of the kennel to the other. Linus, his name was, I'll never forget it. He never touched the ground. He was boing, 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 boing. No one wanted to adopt a dog that looked like that,
yeah,
because they didn't want that in their house. But that dog was perfect. He was better trained than my own dogs. So again, you can't judge the animals by what they're like at a kennel or in a shelter. This place is super, super stressful. Most dogs have, some population of animals that have really not been inside. They've been outdoor dogs
their whole lives.
And even mm-hmm. them being here are, it's kind of scary just being inside. And, but again, when you get them out of this, they're also like, they genuinely seem.
You're breaking up just a little bit, Karen. I think we're a little bit frozen.
They could be in a kennel with 50 other animals in one of our bigger rooms.
Yeah.
And most dogs never experience that.
Well, just imagine being in, I don't know, a big gymnasium with a bunch of crying, screaming adults. And it's like that 24/7. That's what I imagine it's like for some of these dogs. It's just a cacophony of sound, and they're afraid, and they're tense, yeah. and they're all of those things.
Think experience.
Yeah, it's got to be terrible. It's got to be terrible for them. I think we're having a few connection problems with Karen. She's going to try and bounce back in with us.
Karen, if you can, Kelvin, if you can put the phone number in the chat, and if you can call us back on the phone, that would probably be best, Karen. But I was going to say, like, even my dog, Maybelle, did not come from a situation like Matic.
She came from a pretty chill background.
She came from a pretty chill background, and it took her, and this was the best thing that the vet ever told us, it was 3-3-3. It was 3 days to get over the fear of new surroundings, 3 weeks for her personality to come out, and 3 months to be comfortable. And that's kind of what happened.
When really?
She has her moments, let me tell you. But like what Karen was saying with regard to the, you know, how they act in the kennel or in the shelter versus how they're going to act in your house is totally different.
Completely different.
It's how you also react to the dog's behavior that I'm learning right now is like, you want to say things like, oh, you're going to be fine. It's okay. They don't understand conversational English.
Right.
The word sit is just a sound that makes them go put their dupa down. But like, it's all about how we get trained, honestly. And when you go to a place like Matic or another shelter and you see these dogs and you take a test drive, take a 5-day test drive and see how they act in your home with your family and just, does it feel like the right fit?
Well, and again, it's important to get them away from all of that franticness.
I think that's a great deal, personally.
Right. Go ahead, Karen.
Yep,
I think we're still frozen a little bit.
I would say it's like getting married on the first date can be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get married when you just go out to dinner and a movie and that's where you decide to join forever right. and ever.
So that's why the fostering. Yeah. And again, if you do a 5-day foster, you get half off the adoption fee. So
there you go.
We are going to put a link into Matic. If you want to find out more, mm-hmm. if you would like to check out some of these pets, you can make donations. Do you have a wish list, Karen, for items that you would like to see if people want to donate?
Yep. Absolutely. It's on our website, which is madacc.org. And just go on to donate. And it has every option available from blanket sizes, because a lot of people like to cut fabric and make blankets, to our Amazon and Chewy wish lists, to all the stuff we need. You know, kitten season's just around the corner. So we're going to start getting stuff ready for our kitten fosters. We always need dry and canned food for the mm-hmm. animals. So there's always something. We use newspaper. We used to have the Journal Sentinel next door, and we really miss them because we don't get any extra newspaper. So if people are still getting the printed papers, we can definitely use them here.
We will include the link to Matic in our show notes. Karen Sparapani is the executive director. Help them out. Help these pups out. This is an ongoing need. It's mm-hmm. not going anywhere. Karen, thank you so very, very much. We really appreciate your time. And hopefully we'll get some of these pups adopted. We have news coming up next. Stay right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah, yeah. Boop, boop, shabop, bop, ram-a-lam. I'm going to buy me a dog. What, my girl don't love me, no. How?
No, brown cow.
I think I'm going to buy me a dog. Yes, sir. I'm going to buy me a dog. If I was looking for a word to describe what I'm going to buy, I think dog would be the word. It would be dog. Would come springing
from this is 93.5 The Tap. Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will discuss the president-elect's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and will AG Merrick Garland release Jack Smith's J6 report unredacted? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening.
For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Jimmy Carter's state funeral is in progress at the National Cathedral in Washington.
Let us pray with confidence to God, the giver of life, that he will raise him to perfection in the company of the saints.
The eulogies include one from the late President Gerald Ford, read by his son Stephen.
It was because of our shared values that Jimmy and I respected each other as adversaries, even before we cherished one another as dear friends.
Carter's vice president, Walter Mondale, wrote a eulogy before his death. It was read by his son, Ted.
Carter was farsighted. He put aside his short-term political interests to tackle challenges that demanded sacrifice, to protect our kids and grandkids from future harm.
Still to come, a eulogy from President Biden. CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.